All right, guys, so this is the lesson I was not looking forward to today. What do you mean, George? Well, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, the new birth and the family. This is lesson 6, and what we're going to discuss today is Peter's instruction to wives and husbands. So he's going to talk about marriage today, and so we'll have some interesting discussion today, hopefully, and we'll get right into it. So, let's begin, first of all, with verses 1 to 6 in chapter 3, and we're going to see his instructions there for wives. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they will be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold jewelry or clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. All right, so let's take a look at this. We're going to spend a little bit of time here. You say, wow, 6 verses for women, 1 verse for men. Well, guys, don't be relieved yet. You haven't got to that 1 verse yet, so we'll get there. So here we go. First thing I want you to notice is this, is the command. And we're going to discuss the command for a little bit so that everybody understands. Peter commands wives to be submissive to their husbands. Yeah, I already know that verse, submit, yes. Yeah, but you probably don't know what the biblical word submit here means. So he commands them to be submissive to their husbands. Now, husbands here includes those who are not believers. Because someone would say, well, my husband isn't a believer, so I don't need to submit to him. No. The point is, you are to be submissive to your husband. And so that's the point, whether they know the Lord or not. Now, the word submission here means being under authority. Being under authority. Now, what typically happens in Christian circles is that sometimes we equate the word submission with another word. Anybody have a clue what that word might be? Obedience. Okay? So sometimes what happens is that through the years, especially in fundamentalist churches, it's been reduced to wives, obey your husbands. Now, I want to point out to you, that is not what it means. How do you know that, George? Well, if you go over to Ephesians, okay, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning of chapter 5, where it talks about the same instructions from Paul now concerning wives being submissive, which, by the way, right before the instructions to wives, he gives the instructions to every one of us that we're to submit to every one of us. Everyone is to be submissive to each other. So it's not obey. But then when you come to chapter 6, he says, children, obey your parents. He didn't use the word submit. Okay, so it's not the same word. It's placing yourself under someone else. In fact, what I would point out to you is it's two equals where one puts themselves under another. They allow the other to guide or direct. Do you understand? You're placing yourself under the authority of one. So it's not that you are obeying. The word is also used, obey was used also in the terms of master-slave. We're not talking about obedience here. We're talking about submission, okay? Anybody got a thought or comment right now? Anybody got a thought or comment? Okay, let me see here. Okay, worldwide, okay. Okay, all right, so if you go to, all right, so everybody turn your Bibles. If you go to Ephesians chapter 5, yes, so here's what I want you to see. All right, verse 22, submit. So here's what I'm going to say to you, Bruce. The King James, the New King James, the English Standard Version, the NIV, the New American Standard, all of the well-known, most used, most accepted translations use the word submit, because that is a different word than the word in verse 1 where it says obey. Okay, there's two different Greek words that are used there. With regards to verse 22 and with regards to verse 21. So, okay, so, all right, you submit to local government authorities, right?
Right.
All right, in the laws?
I obey the law.
Yes. But you submit, you're submitting to them. There is a difference. When we talk about obedience, that means that the person you're being obeying is somewhat superior to you. Do you understand? Because, look, if you look at Ephesians 5, it says, look at Ephesians 5, verse 21. Mm-hmm. What's the word say? What's the verse say? Verse 21.
Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Submitting to one another. Does that mean obeying one another out of reverence to Christ? Yeah, but wait a minute now. The same word is used. The same word is used. Yeah, so we're to submit to one another, but the same word is wives submit to your husband. Very next verse. It's not a different meaning.
I think it's a thin line, though. It's like it's out of respect. Respect is
yes.
Kind of fear. Like,
so
very delicately, but it is.
Okay, so let me use you two as an example.
Okay.
So there's the relationship between Brad and Lisa. In God's eyes, Brad and Lisa are equal, okay? However, you have, by you submitting, that is, you're choosing to follow Brad's lead.
Right.
So if Brad says, we're not doing this, you say, okay, we're not doing it. Now, maybe you might have a big, discussion, but you, well, I'll give you an example, okay? So this has been just over 25 years ago. Lori and I decided to leave our church, okay? We felt God was telling us it's time after 4 years to leave. So we put our house on the market. We set a price, and we said we were going to sell it then. And I told the real estate agent, don't put the sign out until the afternoon of the day I was going to resign from the church. So that's what we did. I resigned in the morning, put the for sale sign out right after lunch. That evening, the very first day, I get a call at 7 o'clock in the evening from the real estate agent. We have somebody that wants to buy the house. Oh, okay. But they want to give you this price. It was like a little bit less than what we asked for. And that was the very first. It hadn't even been 24 hours. And I said, no, I don't think we're going to do that. Okay. Well, Lori came downstairs mad. She was listening on the other end. Okay. Now it was okay. I knew she was there. Okay.
Yeah.
She was listening. What are you doing? We need to go back to PA. You don't have a job here. This guy offered, you know. I said, no, Laura, we just started, okay? And she said, okay. That was submission on her part, okay? Within an hour, the phone rings. The guy said, okay, oh, he'll give you your price. So with not even 12 hours, God sold our house. We knew, okay, we were supposed to get out of there, okay? We were supposed to leave there. Sold our house within 6 hours, you know, 6 or 7, 8 hours, okay? But that is an example of submission. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But a woman can't not obey. A woman can't
sell the house out.
What's that?
The Lord didn't sell the house. You know, like she obeyed and said, okay, then yeah. we're not going to do this.
Okay.
She didn't go to sell the house.
Sounds like you didn't ask enough for it.
Actually. Oh yeah, but you're the businessman, Danny. I'm the preacher. Okay, so you know what? Actually, it was way more than what we bought it for. Do you understand? So, yeah, that's a different subject. Okay, what were you saying, Bruce?
All right, first of all, you asked me to read what verse 21 was in the other translation. It says, "Give way to each other because you respect Christ."
Okay, give way. Isn't that interesting? Okay, all right. Okay. Yes, okay. Okay. All right, we don't want to spend our time there, but I have a thought there, but I'm not going to give it. So go ahead.
Anyways, going back to our translation, is wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church.
Yes.
I think that's significantly more than, and of course a woman can say, no, I'm not going to do that, but she's breaking that command.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure that everybody understands that yes, you're the head, you're the spiritual head of your home and so forth. But when we talk about the issue here, we're talking about two people who are equals. It's not that one is superior, that the male is superior to the woman. That's not what's being communicated here. Go ahead. Yes. He's the lead guy.
He's got an authority because he's the lead petty officer.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
All the chiefs are the same rank.
Yeah.
But this one's the head of the.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that one's more.
No, but you're placing yourself under the other person.
Has authority.
Yes. And that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about submission. Yes, Lori. Yes, dear. Yes, it's a choice. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. It's a choice to submit. Yeah, so with a child, it says obey, not submit there. Does a child really have a choice in who its parents are? No. Yes, and they, yeah, and face the consequences of it. Yes, okay, hopefully they do. So, yeah. Oh, I would say they would say there's consequences. Yeah. I can't. Oh, my goodness. No. There's a whole lot of, I mean, relationship 101. We need to start a, you know, there are, she would say, oh, yeah, I'll pay for it later. You know what I'm saying? So, just like you would say, oh, I'll pay for it later too. You know what I'm saying? So, and you might pay for that later too, Daddy. Okay. Okay.
So this is a hard one for me.
Yes.
Also, I understand that when Lori said to you, okay, if that house didn't sell, that's your responsibility.
Oh, that's exactly right. She would be like, oh, we had that chance, George. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Not even that. I'm not saying that. But don't you understand that every choice that you decide to make as a male, as a man,
yes.
Every way that you lead your family, you're taking responsibility.
Yes.
That's a great responsibility as a man and the leader of a household.
Yeah.
To make those kind of decisions. I actually find comfort and, I'm honored that he takes care of me.
Yes.
And makes those decisions.
Yes.
I'm not responsible for anyone.
Okay. That's good, Lisa.
So
that's good. Yes.
They're like, we're getting all hung up in the
yes.
day and
Yeah.
And,
yep.
And honestly, there's an honor there as a woman.
Yeah. Yeah,
if
that
your house wouldn't have sold, you also would have had to continue to make decisions. How are we going to pay the bills? How are we going to... Not that she's shaking her hand at you or her finger, but that responsibility is yours.
Yep, yep, you're exactly right, Lisa. And I was just thinking as you were saying that, when you said about we're responsible for our decision, I thought, wow, she just dropped a 10-pound bomb on us. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. That's good. So let's go on here because I'm looking at the time. No, 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 I'm not, so.
I can't get Christ out of it either. Like, it says submit or obey or however you want to split that. It's the follow-on is why you're doing that. That's to the Lord in that.
Okay.
Get Christ out of it and just say, well, it's just this.
Okay. All right, that's good. So let me just say this as a bottom line thing here. The reason why I'm trying to make the distinction is because there is a tendency in our Bible-believing fundamentalist churches to use these verses abusively.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I wanted to delineate this a little bit, is because there's been a lot of behavior with men towards their wives that have been abusive. You got to submit, you know what I'm saying? You got to obey, you know what I'm saying? And there are preachers, and I've even heard talk to folks who are no longer here with us. They can remember sermons here in this very church where basically wives were called to the altar to get right with God because they weren't submitting to their husbands. Did you understand what I'm saying? So I guess what I'm saying is the reason why I'm spending the time is so that we understand that it's not that the partner, the female, is less than the male. Do you understand what I'm saying? But there's a choice. There's a choice to place yourself under the authority of the other. That's the only reason for spending the time there. All right, so let's go on. So their submission may be used. Okay, so wives must be submissive and respectful just as they would to earthly authorities. To earthly authorities. Now, let's go on. The purpose. Now, why do wives need to do this? Okay? Well, first of all, their submission may be used to reach their husbands for Christ. So it is a witness to an unbelieving spouse. Okay? And by that, they have a silent testimony. What do you mean? Well, their proper conduct is a testimony to an unbelieving spouse. So their submission and willing to allow the husband to take the lead is a testimony. Their reverence to God. So even as they're doing that, their continued reverence to God is a testimony to an unbelieving spouse. All right? Now, he's going to talk about inner beauty here, so maybe we'll end up talking about this. So, do not focus solely on the outward appearance. Now, here, he is saying this in verse 3. So, let me read verse 3 to you again. Verse 3, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the putting on of gold, or clothing you wear. All right? But let your adorning be of the hidden person of the heart with imperishable beauty of the gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Now, when you look at verse 3, is it telling you not to focus on the external? I mean, is it not telling you to give your whole thoughts? What do you think the verse is telling you here? Don't wear makeup? Okay. Yeah.
But you shouldn't be doing that. That's not important. You can do that. That's not important. What's important is your inside. That's what's important with every aspect of being a believer.
Okay, that's good, Bruce. Anybody else? Thought there. The reason why I'm asking you this is some groups take this to an extreme to where women can't take care of themselves, so they don't wear any makeup. They dress in plain clothes. They wear a head covering. Sound like anybody you know? Okay, that's legalism, but what they do is they take these verses to an extreme to say, well, you're not supposed to focus there, you're supposed to focus on the inner beauty. Yes, yeah, but my point is that he's not forbidding you from doing that. He's saying don't focus there. Do you understand? Your focus needs to be on developing who you are internally, but you can still take care of your hair, you can still put on nice clothes, you can still wear jewelry. Do you understand? That's the point. What I'm trying to make the emphasis is sometimes people have taken these verses and made a law out of them. Do you understand? What he's saying is, okay, what you should be focusing on is who you are internally. So the focus needs to be on the inner condition of the heart. Who you are as a person. Now, if you want to braid your hair, you know what I'm saying? If, like he's saying here, you know, focus on nice clothes or whatever. That's okay, but we've met people who are consumed by those things, right? Okay? Don't be consumed by them. Be consumed with who you are on the inside. So their character needs to be marked by a gentle and quiet spirit. Okay? They need to be marked by a gentle... Now, you're shaking your head smiling there. It's never going to happen. Okay, but wait a minute now. Hold on. Okay, all right, Daddy. Okay, but hold on a second. When you talk about a gentle and quiet spirit, do you think that's... What do you think that means? Let me ask you, what do you think... Humility. Okay, what else? Okay, all right. Anybody?
You're calm.
All right, that's good, good, Bruce. Well, anybody else? What do you think that means? Okay, a thought towards others is what you're saying there? Okay. All right, here's what I'm saying. The focus is, because you brought it up, there's no way you could be quiet is what you said, okay? Okay. Yeah, but you can still be quiet and gentle in your spirit and still not be quiet. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because some of us, your personality is given to you by God, right? So some of you are loud. I've met some loud people. Who? Okay, yeah, but here's what I'm saying. But that loud person can have a gentle and quiet spirit. Yeah, whatever. However you want to give the characteristics of it, the point is that they are gentle and quiet as a person. Maybe when they talk loud. You know what I'm saying? That's their personality. But people with that kind of personality can be gentle and quiet in their spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I see Lisa as a gentle and quiet spirit.
Okay, there it is. And you've known her for years, Rhonda.
It takes strength, too.
Yeah. Yeah, do you see what I'm saying? So I guess what I'm trying to say is, don't take that to just be a personality. You're talking about the inner person of who they are as a person, okay? An inner person. Okay, let's go on. Yeah, we need to go on. Okay. A woman who pursues this in her life is precious to the Lord. So if you're pursuing being who you need to be, that's precious to God, okay? That's precious to God. Now, he's going to give some examples, all right? And I thought the one example is perfect, okay? Perfect example. All right, so first of all, he points out that this was the focus of godly women from the past. Now, for him, who's he talking about from the godly women from the past? Who do you think he's talking about? Yeah, Mary would be a contemporary to him, okay? But that's not who he's not talking about. Mary, you know, but he's thinking Old Testament. Yeah, different. Yeah, okay, you're doing good now, Denny. Yes, think about that. In particular, he's thinking about one woman who is the mother of all the Jewish people, which is Sarah. Peter stated that this was the focus that Sarah had in submission to Abraham. Now, let's stop for a moment. Let's talk for a moment. Do you think she's a good example? Okay, that's good, Bruce. Lisa's like, whoa, Peter used it. Who are you to question the example? Yeah, but if you read Genesis, though. Okay, what were you going to say, Laura? Yes, she did. Yeah, she laughed out loud. Okay, this is what I'm trying to say. Read the text about her. Okay, so it wasn't like Abraham decided one day, I'm just going to take my handmaiden, Hagar.
No,
who's the one who pushed Hagar on him?
Sarah.
Yeah, she nagged her husband to the point where he's like, okay, fine. And then she got mad at him. Why'd you go and do that for? Do you know what I'm saying? My point is Peter is saying she's our example of submission.
No,
that's not the point. The point is she's the example. But when you read the passage about their relationship, it's a real relationship, right? Okay? That's my point here. Okay? It's a real relationship. All right, now let's talk men, because all right, we've got to spend all our time. Let's talk about men. Now, this is heavy for men. Let's read verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives with an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. All right, several things here. First of all, husbands have a definite responsibility to their wives. Okay? I've given you some cross-references there from Ephesians and Colossians. All right, so here's how the husbands are to be. First of all, you're to have some understanding. The husband is to have an understanding of the needs of the wife. So you have to think about what are the needs of your spouse if you're a guy. Because our tendency is to only think about ourselves, but you're to have an understanding of their needs. That's the point that Paul makes in his passage in Ephesians. You know what I'm saying? If you look over at his passage, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water of the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Okay? So you're thinking about their needs. All right? He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Okay, so the point is, you need to have an understanding of the needs of your wife. Now, the other one is, the husband is to honor her as the weaker vessel or fellow believer. Now, before you get offended at that weaker vessel thing, it's not like he's saying you're less than, but he's talking about a weaker vessel in terms of the creation order, okay? So here's the implication, though. This is the implication, and guys need to pay attention to this. Our conduct towards our wives affects our prayers to God. Look at what he says, verse 7. He can't say anything, but here's what he says. So that, last part of verse 7, that your prayers may not be hindered. So if you're not treating your wife right, if you're not paying attention to her needs, if you're not honoring her, okay, Peter is saying, God's not going to listen to your prayers. Any thoughts about that? Okay. Okay, so have you picked up the feather duster yet?
No.
Okay. You do do the laundry, okay. I don't know. I am so, man, this is the worst. Next time. Okay, hold on. Okay.
I just want to make sure that that isn't what she's thinking.
All right. I just want to make sure you take.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's make sure you do take this point home. What's the point? Our relationships with each other affect our prayer life. If you're not right with your wife, God's saying, I'm not listening to you. Whoa, that's pretty straightforward, right? If you're not right with your wife, God's not listening to you. In fact, Malachi, all the way over in Malachi, the perfect illustration of this is Malachi, the Old Testament prophet. Verse 13, chapter 2. The second thing you do, you cover the Lord's altar with tears, with weeping and groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. So they're like going to God in the temple, they're making their offerings, they're crying, they're weeping, and you're like, God, why aren't you accepting what I'm saying, is what it says here. Okay, here's what he says. But verse 14, but you say, why does he not? And here's what it says. Because the Lord was a witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. God says, I'm not listening to you. I'm not blessing you. I'm not doing anything with you because you haven't been right by your wife. So sometimes, I think sometimes we're like, why doesn't God answer my prayers? You know, there's a lot, one of the areas you need to examine in your life is, well, how's my marriage? How's my marriage doing? How am I doing in my way I'm treating my wife? That's the point Peter is making here. You know what I'm saying? So he's saying, honor your wife, be aware, understand her needs, meet her needs. Otherwise, God's not listening to you. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Yes.
So if he is dishonoring that, why should the Lord listen to him?
Okay, that's good. Did you hear what Brad said? If the husband is dishonoring what God is saying, why should he listen to him? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. So that is, and you got a closing comment or question?
I just think that, you know, our relationship with each other as husband and wife can be so skewed one way or the other. If
yes.
You're pushed in this ditch and if you're pushed in that ditch, you know, you can argue on those points of submission and obeying and what the husband should do and what the wife should do. But it's interesting that when you read the Bible,
that's exactly
you're
right.
The bride of him.
Yes.
So, like, that gives me chills. Like, honestly, that should give you some perspective of what, how much emphasis he puts on a marriage.
Yes. Yeah.
And how important that is to respect in each other. Like, even Bruce was saying, like, in the conversation he had with his wife, she swayed him. Like, he gave her the honor and respect to hear her.
Yes.
Bride.
Yes. Yes.
That's
yes.
Made.
Yes.
And then I have to just say, well, you know,
okay. Yeah.
You're the one that made the decision.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way,
Yes. That's good, Lisa. That's good. So the point is that what we're seeing here is our relationship with our spouse is not just a two-way thing. It's actually a triune relationship.
Right.
So it's husband and wife and God. It's the three of you. So whether you realize it or not, God is involved in your relationship. And his response in that relationship is dependent upon your response to each other in accordance with what he wants. And like you said, Brad, for the dudes, if you're not doing what you should be doing, he ain't going to listen to you. You know what I'm saying? So that's something. All right, we're at our end here. Next week, we'll talk about some more conduct next week.